Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh. Five days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rowan, and a crew coming to you live. We're going to talk about empowerment today. We're going to talk about what happened to the village. Yes, that's right, the village. And much, much more. Come on, Jonah. Come on, Luther. Welcome. There is no better love than for self and kind. No better love. Welcome to the show. Welcome to another Saturday of empowerment. It's African American empowerment. Where else you gonna get that at? You know, I was thinking there are all these organizations that people have, even animals have, to support them. All right, but what do we have? You got MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. You got PETA, People Against Ethical Treatment, or for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Well, what do we got? Now, I know we used to have, like, the Urban League and NAACP, but, well, we need somebody that can really step up to the forefront for us. We do. All right? We need an organization that's going to look at what the needs are that's in our communities that African Americans face, and then come up with strategies and agendas to address that. What I mean is those issues that we face. All right, we're going to have to do it. Again, the question for today is, what happened to the village? What happened to the village? And you know they say it takes a village to raise a child, right? If it takes a village to raise a child, then something happened to the village, right? And to raise this child, you got to do some things. That means there's an entire community of people that must provide some intangible things for these children. They must interact with the children. For these children have to have those positive interaction and engagements in order to grow and be healthy and safe and feel safe. Do our children feel safe? I mean, some of them do. Come on now. I'm just saying. In general, specifically, right? That's a lot of our kids who are way, way, way out there. Don't have no shelter and no covering, and we need to do something about that. We need to address that. And so here's why you have the NAAEA. So there's the tenets of the NAAEA, and I'd like to start with our mission. The mission of the National African American Empowerment Association is to ensure that the needs of the African American community are met through the development of programs and services that support, inspire, motivate, and empower us, me and you, brothers and sisters. Right, we will collaborate and partner with existing organizations and community organizations and build partnerships together to promote the concept of peace. This is where we come in. Right, that peace concept is so powerful. Right, here it is. There are five concepts. I'm going to give you one. Politics, a political agenda. Right, there's something going on in Washington D.C. Right, that they are effectively moving their political agenda along because they're there. So when you go and just Google who's in the Senate, right, and who's in the Congress, House of Representatives and all of that, or the judicial system and look at the judges, who's sitting there? And are people of color sitting in those seats? Because they will be the ones that's helping to make decisions for us. So I'm just saying, if you're going to be here, you got to have a political agenda. Economics, you have to have the economic agenda. You got to manage your money. You do. You do. You got to manage your money. You got to be able to know that that money is going to be going somewhere that's going to help you and your children. You just do. Can't be spending, spending, spending. You got to save, 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 and invest, invest, and invest in something that's going to create wealth for you and generational wealth for your children, that you can have places where your children can go, where they can be trained and developed to become whoever what they want to be, and that when they go to these places, they have confidence. It used to be the church at one time, right, in some ways. But we need to get that back. We need to get those institutions back. And like Stan says, we need to have institutions that define our own reality, and we need them right now. Probably more than ever, really, to be honest. We really, really do. A, athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. You got to take care of your body. Mental health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, right? You got to eat right. You got to train. You got to develop. You got to take care of your temple. You do. You got to take care of your body, right? Get out and walk, right? We're working on doing a 5K, right? And that, even if you're not in Virginia or in Richmond, you can do a 5K right wherever you are. That's how we're working with NAEA is we're everywhere we are. So we'll train, we'll teach, and we'll develop, but we got to work on ourselves. We got to look at the food that we're eating, right, at the consumption, the portion sizes. All those things really matter. Okay. Man, it's powerful. Think about it. When you think about taking care of your body, we are leading the league. We're leading the world in health disparities. We got to change that. And it's up to us to do that. Okay, next is culture, relevant cultural programs, right? Kwanzaa is coming up. They'd be like, why Kwanzaa? Because Kwanzaa has principles, and we need those principles. We really do. We need those principles to lead, guide, and direct our young people and our families. We do. We need to have a system in place that helps us to do that. And lastly, a comprehensive education. That education helps to, again, guide and direct us. And that's what we need. We really do, because we have to have these. So go out, join the NAEA. It's not hard to do, not hard at all. Just come and be a part of change. Stan McLemore.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I
we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. But we must unify. Let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
You know, Brother Stan is so right. We got it. We have to. I have conversations all the time about getting in to fit in. Right? I know we got to try to get in just to eat and figure out who we are. I'm just saying, the work has to be done to get back to your authentic self. Yeah, it's a hard work, right? But you don't have to go around acting like other people and mimicking other people. You don't. That's like one of us going around acting like we're Chinese. How would that look? Okay, just a thought, just a thought. All right, I'm going over to Brother George now with the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. Brother George, I'm bringing you in the right way. Come on, Brother George. Brother George.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing good. I appreciate the invitation, and I appreciate the introduction. Bringing me in.
All right.
With the man. Today, yes, sir?
I said you got it. You are a resident scholar.
Okay.
Do your thing, brother. Uh-huh. Do your thing.
Today's Kwanzaa principle is going to be Moja, unity, to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. I think that's in direct, directly with the topic of today about the village. The Willie Lynch segment, I discussed part of it last week, and I'm going to restate some of it so I can go through the second part. The issue was problems, and I was reading out of the book SBA, The Reawakening of the African Mind by Asa G. Hilliard III, who was an ancestor. And what we have is I'm going to restate what the problems are. There is a belief problem. there is a problem of will, there is a problem of ignorance, there is a problem of cultural ignorance, there is a problem of accountability, there is a problem with Africans, with the African community, and there is a problem with inequity. Now, I read through all of that last week. Now, we have the conclusion. And the conclusion is this. Formal research and our experiences during the Brown years, and I believe they're talking about Brown versus Board of Education, years allow us to make some generalization. When children don't learn, systems are deficient. The race of the child does not tell us anything about the child's mental capacity to succeed in school. Socioeconomic status is not a barrier to learning if the student is exposed to good teaching. Racism and bigotry are negative factors in teaching and learning. Our children are not succeeding mainly because the masses of them have been abandoned. The courts can mandate physical desegregation, but not an educational environment that is high quality and nurturing. How much do we care about the masses of the children in this nation? How much do we care about the Africans, the Latinos, the Native Americans, and other children in the depths of poverty? The education and general welfare of the masses of our children is not a high public policy priority. Building prisons is one of the nation's highest priorities. Studies of the genetic causes of violence is one of the nation's highest priorities. Welfare reform is one of the nation's highest priorities. Great sums of money are being allotted for the real priority, while educational reform is primarily a rhetorical priority with unfocused goals and no money. Most African children do not have access to a quality education. To remedy this situation, we need a new conversation, a summit, a series of summits to reflect, to conceptualize, to devise strategies, and to take action. More of the same will not do. We are a society with many cultures. The rest of the world will soon be more like us. Our challenge and our responsibility, if we are to survive, is to show the world cultural democracy means in the 20th century. The failure to acknowledge and to respect the cultures of others at the base of the newest forms of inequity, no race or ethnic group is superior to another. 45 years of Brown should be enough for people of goodwill to see that the massive new focus and effort is needed, and to resolve to take the next steps. Time is of the essence. Now, I know what Dr. Hillier was getting at, and I hope that the majority of y'all do, is that they don't have a large priority on or educating our children or sharing the experiences of our cultural past, of our accomplishments, but they've sure got a lot of money that they could put into the prison to put our young men into, and also to set up a system of drugs being pumped into our communities, set up a system of easy access to weapons. And when you put drugs and weapons together, people are going to get killed. Because when you're not in your right mind and someone just says something inadequate to you, first thing you do, you pull your gun and you shoot them. You got 25 years in prison and you only realize that when you pulled that trigger that your life was like basically a large part of your life was gone. You know, was under their, you know, slavery, new slavery regime. You know, but brother, you know, I done said my piece, and if you have any questions, I'm good. If not, thank you for the time.
Of course, you already know. With that being said, because you really said a lot and really great points, where do we start? Where do we begin, right?
Where do we start? Well, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while, brother, and I'm going to make this statement, and it's one that takes pondering. The day that black men figure out with the term, my word is my bond, means, and my word is my bond is not a group statement. My word is my bond is an individual statement. So when you start saying, well, my word is my bond, but then you start, in order for your bond to be held, somebody else got to hold their bond. Your word is your bond means you do what you say that you was going to do. Forget about if the other people keep their word. That doesn't matter, you see. But when we fully start understanding that, because at one time, the black man's word meant something in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take it back to that point where your word means something. Your word represents you, precedes you as a man, that your word is good when you say something. And far too many of us, man, we like to make a bunch of statements, and we love to talk. When it comes time to word is bond, we ain't there yet. And I think that's vitally important for anything, for starting schools, for starting businesses, for doing anything. Until your word is bond, then at that point, brothers will come together. They know that they can count on one another, and we can get some things done. And I think that things start with the black man first, building a bond. And then we can expect the sisters to bond with us. But until we show them something to bond with, what they going to bond with? They're going to bond with us running around, getting drunk in the street and getting high and having baby here, baby there. Man, don't nobody want that kind of world. You know, so I'm pumped up today, but thank you for the time, brother. But that's
all right. All right, Brother George, I'm coming back to you today. You on fire. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. All right, brother, laid it down again. Listen, y'all, the brother's right. Who want to be stuck with somebody that ain't going nowhere? I'm just talking to the brothers now. Don't get mad. Just listen. We need to be accountable. We got everything that we need. But we need our manhood back. We need fatherhood back. You can't mandate that. You can't legislate that. Right? Some decisions going to have to be made down the road at some point. Some decisions are going to have to be made about what we're going to do as men, brothers, talking to you, right? You lay the seed into a woman. That seed is your seed. Those children are your children. When that seed go into a woman, it's like putting a seed in the ground, in the earth. She's our earth. And then what happens is the seed grows, and she give it back to you. You can't say that ain't my fruit. That's not my harvest. That's your seed. We got to take care of our seeds. And we had to set the example. And then we had to become great examples. You can't mandate good parents. You can't mandate good human beings. That's something that has to be developed. And we had to develop ourselves. We had to develop our children. We had to develop our communities. We had to develop ourselves. That is why it's so important that we must continue to have these conversations about the village and what we must do individually and collectively to rebuild ourselves and then create institutions that define our own reality and get out of this mess that we in of mistreating each other and disrespecting each other and drinking and smoking and partying and having a good time. Ain't nothing wrong with that in season. Well, we got to get to work, y'all. We have to get to work and building now. Man, our ancestors spent years building. What are we building? What are we building? So let's get off the game, right? Let's get out of the TV and let's get to building. Let's get to work. I'm working on ourselves. And let's see what we can create as we continue to be co-creators with the ultimate creator. We got to do it. We must do it. Let's commit to that. I'm going to the laws of my heart, then I'm going to the lions. Come on, y'all. We could do it. We could do it.
The 42 laws of Ma'at. I have not committed sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men or women. I have not stolen food. I have not swindled offerings. I have not stolen from God. I have not told lies. I have not carried away food. I have not cursed. I have not closed my ears to truth. I have not committed adultery. I have not made anyone cry. I have not felt sorrow without reason. I have not assaulted anyone. I am not deceitful. I have not stolen anyone's land. I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not falsely accused anyone. I have not been angry without reason. I have not seduced anyone's wife. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized anyone. I have not disobeyed the law. I have not been excessively angry. I have not cursed God. I have not behaved with violence. I have not caused disruption of peace. I have not acted hastily or without thought. I have not overstepped my boundaries of concern. I have not exaggerated my words when speaking. I have not worked evil. I have not used evil thoughts, words, or deeds. I have not polluted the water. I have not spoken angrily or arrogantly. I have not cursed anyone in thought, words, or deeds. I have not placed myself on a pedestal. I have not stolen what belongs to God. I have not stolen from or disrespected the deceased. I have not taken food from a child. I have not acted with insolence. I have not destroyed property belonging to God. The 42 laws of Ma'at.
How about that? Just try a few on for size, right? And it don't have to be exact. You can make up your own rules now. I mean, you're already doing it anyway. But how about deciding how you're going to live, right? I can't tell you how to live, but you can. You have your own commandments or your own I have not. I haven't gotten to nobody's business. I haven't been disrespectful. I haven't cussed people out today. How about that? Just basic rules that we can live by that we all can agree to. At least we can try, right? I have not. Hey, guess what? All right, we know people going to sin, right? But we could try our best not to. But how about I have not killed somebody for no reason? Oh, you stepped on my shoe, boom. No, these are lives. We're human beings. Let's get to loving each other again. We got to do it, y'all. We got to do it. I'm going to the lines. I'm going to 3376. It's the Empowerment Hour. Let's go.
Bring it!
Three, three, seven, six, are you there? It's the Empowerment Hour. We're going once. 3376 going twice. 3376 I'm going. I'll try again. But thank you for being on the line. All right, I'm going over to 6306. Let me start. Let me. We got to do the restart then. Do the restart. I like to bring them in, right, y'all? Here we go. 6306. Come at you.
Bring it. What? We ride here.
Mm-hmm. Sixty 306, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good afternoon.
All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. So I was thinking about what Brother Joy said about how our word is not our bond, and I'm not going to just say it's like that with men anymore. It seems to be like that with a lot of people now, male and female. And so it's almost like no one has any integrity anymore. We're not taught to have integrity anymore. So it's like we're in a whole climate of, well, I changed my mind, or, you know, I just didn't feel like it. And we give some kind of justification or excuse as to why somebody won't do anything. You know, why they don't have to. I don't have to if I don't want to. You know, not understanding that you actually promised this to me. So if you weren't able to do it, number one, you should have enough respect for me or whoever to, you know, explain to me why you weren't able to do it or why you couldn't do it. You know, it's just that we've lost all respect for each other now. And we use that as an excuse to behave. You know, we have different excuses to behave that way. You know, well, I was tired. I was depressed. Oh, I didn't feel like, you know, not saying I'm not downgrading depression, but, you know, still enough. But if you were to do that to them, if you would say, well, I didn't have time to do it or I didn't want to do it or whatever, all hell will break loose. You know, how could you just not do that? You know, how dare you? But when they did it to you, it was okay. Or when you do it back to them, after they've done it to you and then you do it back to them because they're expecting something from you, you know. So it's like I think everybody has lost the meaning of integrity and word is bond and, you know, how you're, you know, standing by your word.
That's true. Okay. I appreciate that. I'm coming back to you. I got some more stuff I want to talk about today. Thank you. I appreciate that, sister. That's what I'm talking about. You know what the real deal is? The real deal is, like she said, integrity. The question is, let me run them down first. Lack of respect, accountability, being responsible for your actions and your words, right? Those are the things, right? Who's teaching it? Who's teaching us to be integral? Who's teaching us to respect ourselves? Right, that's why I said what happened to the village, because that used to happen in the village. Who's teaching accountability? Who's teaching personal responsibility to be accountable for yourself? And this has to be ingrained in our communities. It has to be ingrained in our children to respect yourself and each other. Respect our seniors. Respect our adults. Respect your parents. Respect yourself. Again, we lost a lot of our values as we transition into integration. Went from segregation where there was a village and a community to being wide open and assaulted by what goes on in this society. We're open to it now. So our children, listen to me carefully, are open and privy to everything. They got more than we ever had, right? And so we had to understand that they have access to stuff that we never had before. Who's getting there first is the question. Who's getting there first? So I'm going back over to 3376. We're going to try it one more time. 3376, I'm coming to you live on the Empowerment Hour. It's Marvin Roan and a crew. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Bring it.
All right.
What?
Now. All right. 3376. Are you there?
Good afternoon. I'm here.
All right. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well today. I'm talking about what happened to the village. What's your thoughts?
My train of thought has to do with the village having your family, your grandmother, your mother, your uncles, your cousins, and them, neighbors, and everybody work together, especially on the youth, on the young people. So what you didn't get at one house, you got at the other. So one of the things is we don't have those types of neighborhoods or communities anymore. Everybody is spreading abroad. And then we allowed the me, I call it the me, the my, and the I. Me, my, I syndrome creeps in, and everybody is all for themselves. You know, they used to call keep up with the Joneses. So, you know, thing where we dealt with, I'm superior because I have more things than you do. I have more objects. I have a bigger house. I have a better car. So nobody's really concentrating collectively on young people, and they're not being trained. They're not being taught abroad. Whatever they get it in school. And not always do they get what has to do with the African-American culture in school. It's left out the majority of the time. And so if we're not teaching and training across the board, then we're leaving our young people behind. And it's getting increasingly worse because young people don't know what to teach young people. So if the older people don't stick in there, find ways to work collectively in communities or communities abroad with all of this technology, we can do it on the internet. We don't have to, you used to have to meet together. We had places where we met, whether it was in churches, school buildings, or somebody home. We met together to make sure that young people understood who they are, why they are, and what direction they're going in, and how not to get in trouble. Not to get in trouble with the law, because of who you are, it's easy. All you have to do is be black, young and black, and you got in trouble with the law. So we taught those things. All right, that's it for today. That's my point of view.
All right, thank you, sister. Great points. I appreciate you. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the show is all about. She said collective concentration on our kids. What a powerful thought. When you think about other cultures, right, outside of the dominant culture, here would be the white European culture. If you look at Asians and many Latino, Mexican type cultures, right, or Hispanic, when you look at the Jewish culture, for example, or the Amish culture or the Mennonite culture, their cultures help to guide their community action. It just does. It helps them to direct their actions, their behaviors. They have a collective consciousness, and that's what we need. The sister's exactly right. We used to come together. We had a meeting place, whether it was the church or whether it was somebody's front porch or back porch or backyard. We always met, but we have to get back to understanding how to move forward now with this new consciousness. Right, of being able to understand right where we are, the systems that are in place, because there are systems in place, right? And we have to learn how to teach our young people and our men and women to navigate the system that we're living in now, how to function properly, right? She mentioned something about having a nice house. That means that you learn to navigate the system. Even if you did things in the underworld, so to speak, right? You learn to navigate the system to get the money that you needed to do what you need to do, but that don't make you a good person. Didn't make you a good dad. Didn't make you a good mother. These things, money don't make you a good human being. Just make you have a whole lot of stuff, right? But it's what's on the inside. It's your own personal integrity. It's your personal consciousness. It's your personal covenants that you make with your children and with your wife or with your husband or your significant other that really matters. All I'm saying today is let's look at ourselves and begin to do that refining process where we really stop taking each other for granted, right? We only got one time around right now on this earth. Let's make the best of it. That's what we got to do. Again, I'm calling, it's a call to action today to get the village back. Not how it used to be. We're never going back. Change has already happened. Now we have to adapt, and we have to adjust, and we have to move forward, creating good communities and great people. We could do it. We sure can. All right. Stay in action.
Well,
collective consciousness.
I think we fail to see how good and precious life can be.
Come on,
brother. We operate so much in doom and gloom and negativity.
Uh-huh.
Causes us to tune out the big picture. When we're able to see how good and precious that life can be, it gives you a willingness to strive into the future. It gives you the foundational tenets to lay down for the next generation to build into their future.
So true.
But if we're always walking in doom and gloom and negativity and trying to fit in to somebody else's reality, that's not it. No, no, no. We are unique. Just like there's nobody on the face of this earth that has fingerprints like you. Because
that's right.
You are unique. And when we have that unified consciousness, man, the sky's not even the limit for us. It's not. The brother said it right. We can literally create our state of heaven. And we have to walk in that. It says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to strive to see and even pray how good and precious life can be. And that gives you the opportunity to literally perpetuate happiness and joy and peace and prosperity, because things are being sustained in a sustainable way. So we got work
to do. Thank you, Brother Stan, for those powerful words. It's true. We have to find joy and peace and happiness within our lives, within ourselves. We got to do the work. All I'm asking you to do is commit. Make a commitment to doing the best you can to become the best person that you could be every day, step by step, day by day, consistently committing to achieving the goal of actualizing the greatest part of yourself. All right, I'm going over to 9116. 9116 is the Empowerment Hour. It'll bring you in. You know how I'm going to do it. Join the NAAEA. Become a member. 9116. Six, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Salute.
Hey, what's happening, brother?
There's a whole lot happening. You know, but we will stay optimistic, like the brother said. That's key. You know, I'm dealing with this young lady right now. She's dealing with a process of putting out double money because somebody didn't job right.
Hmm.
Can't see the optimistic future. And a lot of people I know, you know, a lot of my brothers, sisters, a lot of people I know, they fall into this doom and gloom like the brother said, but it's so vital that you can look around at. And there's always a glimpse of positivity in something like that can be negative. You know, so optimism is key, the major key.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. I don't want to take too much time, but that's the thing.
Man, you got as much time as you need, sir.
No, it's just a time for us to, like I said, collectively stay together. And the ones who think alike, move alike. It just trickles down. You know, we might not ever see the past again. We can build a grand future. When we got a text about Biden putting out this 500,000 pretty much to Hispanic, and they do stuff like that to kind of fool us as a people. You know, the Asians get 1 month of hate and they get a hate bill. They do things like this to kind of like eat at our emotions and keep us in a doom and gloom space. But you got to look at that from another side of the coin, which is, why is these things happening? And we never get a hand up because the power, you got to look at it as a powerful thing still. It's still an optimistic view that the most powerful ones are going to have people coming at them left and right, left and right. So just still notice the power. Still notice the power, you know. And I'm out here working now, my brother, working with some good people.
All right.
So I'm not going to take too much time.
All right. Thank you, sir. I really appreciate you calling in.
Definitely. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you. You know, I like that. I really do. Brother calling off his job, he working. So let me just add this piece in here real quick. And this is something that we got to stop, too. We got to stop the shoddy work, right? We got to have a system of integrity. So here it is. And I'm challenging the brother that just called in for the person who you coming behind. Let's see if we can try to find him. And this is what I'm saying, in respect and in love, right? We got to teach brothers on our people's side, all right, and sisters, how to be accountable for their work, right? And so instead of like, I ain't using that nigga no more, how about we pull him to the side and say, hey, look, man, you can't be doing this kind of work no more. Let me help you get on your feet or to get some integrity with your work so you can get out here and be dependable for our people. Those kind of systems are important, right? And that we can do that, it's correction for direction, that we can correct each other in love, right? And not just isolate, I ain't working. I understand, right, that you can't keep going back to people that's going to halfway do the job. But if we had a system for correction and say, hey, come on, brother, this is how it's going to work. Either you're going to align your work with the integral, responsible, accountable way, or you just won't be hired on no jobs. You're going to have to go do something else. Because you can't keep doing that. You can't keep taking people money. That's unacceptable. Now, back to the Biden piece, right? Of course, you know, other cultures are going to get advances, and we're going to get pulled back and around. And even if they sling something at us, they're going to sling it enough that they can stimulate the economy, right? Because we're driving stuff. We understand that. I hope we do. But here's what we really need. We don't need the 500,000, 500 million, 500 billion. What we really need is each other. That's what we need. We really need each other. And if we got each other, for real, that's all we need, because once we get that together, ball game. Ball game. All right. I'm going over to 6306, and then I'm going to Brother George. Come on. Six 306, back at you.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. So I think it was Sister Christy that was talking. Was it Sister Christy that was talking?
Yes.
Earlier, about the family dynamic. And it was funny because me and another cousin were talking the other day, and I mentioned that I miss our family. Because when we were younger, we were saying that we always had that central place that we went to. We always went to my grandmother's house and ate dinner, or, you know, we went after school or wherever we went. So we always had that family dynamic. And you mentioned that, excuse me, that integration actually kind of ended that, you know, because at one time when we were segregated, all we had was each other. you know, we only had each other to stand on. We couldn't go to the quote-unquote white man or whoever and depend on them for anything, you know. When we didn't have, we had to go to our family members and see if we could pool our resources together to make sure that, you know, Aunt B, you know, needed a babysitter so she could work. So, you know, her sister or her mother or whoever took care of that child. You know, we just don't have that anymore since we've integrated. You know, the whole family dynamic has changed so much. So we hear about mothers having to go to work and leave their child in the house, and she's getting arrested because she left the child at home, but she didn't have a babysitter. So they're asking, well, where's the father? Well, you know, where's her mother, the children's grandmother? You know, you don't have that anymore. And unfortunately, you know, like you said, nobody's holding anybody accountable for those things. You know, everybody has an excuse for why they don't have to or they don't want to. You know, the baby mama, she doing this, and, you know, and or, you know, grandma, she want to go to the club, or grandma don't have time for these kids. I ain't tell her to have them babies, you know. We just don't hold each other accountable anymore. We don't look out for each other like we used to. And it's just sad, you know, and I don't know what the answer is. And I'm hoping that this next generation of babies that we have will start recognizing, because, you know, change, you know, everything evolves over time. So, you know, they're going to start seeing these kids that say, you know, I wish mama didn't go out so much. You know, I wish mama spent more time with me. I wish mama did this with me, I wish, you know, or daddy or whatever the case is, to start doing those things for their children that they felt like they didn't get. You know, and hopefully that's what will start happening. You know, they'll start seeing that, you know, maybe we need to put down the social media or the phones and the video games and the computers and spend more time with each other, so we don't have kids going out here shooting each other up in schools or on the street or whatever the case is. You know, let's spend more time with our kids and loving our kids and show them some integrity and respect and, you know, let them have some real goals besides being able to sharpshoot, you know, a person, place, or thing. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah, hopefully we'll have a new generation that will start understanding that. You know, because at some point, I hope, we get to the point where we start looking at these things and saying, no, this is not right. We have to stop. We have to stop.
True. I like that. I appreciate that. Thank you. That is so right. That is so right. Thank you, sister. See that passion? See, that's passion. But here's the thing. We are humans, right? And here's the key thing is that we come from our experiences, right? Learn behavior is what I'm talking about, right? And so it is sum total of our experiences. And so people are only going to do what they have been associated with, right? What they experience, what they see. And if our children are not being taught and trained and developed to see and understand and talk and behave in a certain way, guess what? We aren't not going to change. Things are not going to change. That's my belief. I'm hoping, like you, sister, I'm hoping that things will change, but it ain't going to happen by osmosis. Nothing happens by osmosis. We got to do the work. We got to do the work. I'm going to Brother George, and then I got a new call on the line. 1295, you're up after Brother George. Brother George, I'm coming back at you right now. Oh, yeah. Brother George, you know I had to play that for you.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, brother.
I appreciate you.
Sister really gave justice to what I said earlier. She really clarified exactly what I was talking about. And, you know, and I just, until we clear that up, it's not going to, we're going to have problems. you know. And so once we do that, you know, I will I think we can get somewhere. We can get, if two of us keep our word with something, I think that we will do an exceptional job with that. I've seen people become millionaires and billionaires with two people keeping their word with what it is that they say they're going to do. You know, so I'm going to let you go into the next person because I know that they want to respond.
All right. I thank you, brother. You always got the wisdom. You know I got the call on you, brother. I appreciate you, Brother George. And again, so let's go back to the book real quick before you go. What's the name of that book?
It's called SDA.
Mm-hmm.
Reawakening of the African Mind by Asa G. Hilliard III.
All right. Thank you, Brother George.
All right, thank you, brother.
Appreciate it, sir. And see, here's the thing, right? Again, if you go back to the tenets, right, the peace concept, the Brother George, the part where he sits there and reads the book is education. You have to remember that that's one thing they took from us. They took education from us, the desire and the thirst to learn. Those who are willing to learn are willing to grow. Those who are willing to grow are willing to change. We got to put in the work. We got to recreate, refine, define, and harvest a new value system. How about that? All right, I'm going over to 1295, and then I'm going back to 9116. I thank y'all for joining us today. Here we go. 1295, you're up.
Peace.
Well, 95, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Brother Marvin?
Hey, welcome, brother. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. What do you do? Yes, sir, Brother Khalil.
All right, it's great to have you on the line, brother. Another one of these wise giants out here. They calling in today. Thank y'all so much for calling in. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, my pleasure. I really enjoyed all your callers, brother. A lot of wisdom was spoken today. I just want to first answer your question, what happened to the village. And I think one of the brothers said it is basically war. You know, it's been a constant attack on us as a people to make sure that we never return to our greatness. And so when we look at things like Black Wall Street and all of the different things where one of the sisters said, you know, prior to integration, where we constantly only had each other, it was clear that all we needed was each other, and we were overcoming this so-called, you know, slave condition that we were put in just by being left alone. And so, you know, they couldn't leave us alone because they saw that we would overcome and return to our greatness, because that's what has been put in us by creation from our birth. So, you know, not to get all the way to the cellular level, biologically speaking, but, you know, because we know sometimes how you eat and what you think, and we talk about generational curses, you know, and babies can be born, you know, sometimes with some physical defect and maybe some mental, which is still physical, I'm speaking of the brain defects because of what the parents did or didn't do properly.
But
that was creation. But that which creation gave us, we've seen miracles, and we've seen people born in that way still do tremendous things, because that which God put in us, we were able to overcome. So that's just with dealing with an individual who may have been born, you know, in not the greatest conditions. But it's also reflective of us as a people going back to all of the ways that we were overcoming all of the trauma, you know, of the slave condition, that we were still overcoming. So those are two parallel, if you will, examples on an individual basis of a child being born, and us as a people, whatever conditions we've been put under, that which was put under us
at creation, we were able to overcome. So the sister said, I don't know what to do. Really, she does know what to do, because knowing what to do is in our DNA. It's in our DNA. And we reflect on what our ancestors did, and that's fine. And we reflect on some people before us, and that's fine. But we really do need to make a focus and a commitment and be responsible and be accountable to recreate. You said it right before I picked up. Refine, recreate, you know, and what other you know, words that you use right before I picked up that basically said we start where we stand and make a commitment to each other to do what Brother George has told me once before, which is our nature. Our nature, our culture is to make progress. We do what benefits us. We need to make a commitment to just, you know, going inside of us. And, you know, we can reflect on Wall Street. We can reflect on ancestors. But we need to make sure that whatever we choose from any situation that's going on today, remember, we taught the world. So they functioning off of what we gave them. It may not, we may not recognize that we may see them doing it, Facebook, all these different things, but we taught the world. And it's still feeding off of our energy. So we need to make that commitment and say, start where we stand, and better tools will come along, as it said in the book, and we will decide. We need to set up a culture that educates us to do what's best for us. And if it don't work for us, we don't need to do it. So that's what I think happened. War is what happened to the village. And then once we set it back up, we need to realize we are still in a war, and set up protection so they don't tear down our systems like Black Wall Street, like the great educational systems we had in the past. So that's my two cents, my brother.
True. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate your call. Stick with me now. Wow. I like that. Thank you, brother. All right. I got 3 minutes. I just want to say something real quick. The brother is right. We've been assaulted. Right? Our communities have been assaulted. Our family values have been assaulted. But there's some optimism there, and I like that. That's why we got to have this show. We got to have these values. We got to start doing what's best for us, and we got to make a commitment to integrity, a commitment to excellence now, a commitment to respect, a commitment to accountability, and a commitment to responsibility, because in order to get to where we need to be, we got to do it. All right, I'm going back to 9116 real quick. And then we out of here. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, here we go. 9116, bring you in.
Once we figure out the problem, what can we do to induce a solution? And nepotism. The Supreme One practiced nepotism to the core in the best ways, right? If we take on nepotism on every level, financially, like the young lady said, taking care of our own information, we could be great again. Stop being so individualized and worrying about our own households and just practice more nepotism. It would repair so much financially. It won't have us in that crab mind state, because Dick Gregory said the only thing that creates the crab mind state is hot water. Great. A cultural nepotism, it would open us up so much. Just nepotism is an important piece, a tool that can fix us. And I'm gonna leave it at that.
All right. Thank you, brother. I like that. I like that. I appreciate you calling. So let's get ready to wrap this up. I thank y'all so much for calling. It's really been a great show. Hey, send it out to your friends and family. They're always looking at something. Why don't they listen to us, right? And then we start applying these values and these belief systems, right, that we begin to transition our minds and our hearts toward each other, right? Again, we need each other. The key element to it all is love. We got to love ourselves again. There is no greater love than for self and kind. And with the five pillars for the peace concept, with a little bit of love and a little bit of accountability, we could do it. All we need is each other. The last thing is this. We used to say we shall overcome. I want to say we have overcome. We just now need to make the adjustment. We have overcome. We just need to understand that we've been assaulted. Our family values have been assaulted, but we can recover from that. Let's do the work of working on ourselves. And lastly, Make a commitment to becoming the best person that you can be today and every day. And without fail, if we just reach out to each other.
You hail from a heavenly court, and I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm. When I'm laid to my rest,
peace and quietness, you're sure to find.
And
the world
will be better for this.
Better for this. We can do it, y'all. We can do it.
Scorned and covered with scars.
We can do it.
Still strong. Last ounce of courage to reach, oh, to reach the unreachable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.